Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for your holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I shared with some of you the story of Ash Wednesday evening this past week when I returned home at about 9 p.m. My wife, Ellen, was on the phone with our daughter, Gabrielle, and I was a bit tired, but it was a really good tired from the Ash Wednesday liturgies, as well as several meetings here at the church. I opened the refrigerator, and in that tired state, just reached for a piece of dark chocolate, came this close to putting it in my mouth when I suddenly realized that I had given up chocolate for Lent. It was day one, and I had almost messed up. And I immediately felt the guilt of my Catholic school days and had a wilderness experience right then and there in front of the refrigerator. We are now just 5 days into the 40 days of this holy season of Lent. And the Gospel of Mark, appointed for this first Sunday of Lent, reminds us of where the early church derived the number of days for this season. Immediately after his baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, Jesus goes out into the wilderness. He goes to the wilderness for a period of 40 days to fast, to pray, to meditate, to be one with God. This is seen as an essential part of Christ's preparation for ministry and the cross that awaited him. It is significant in today's gospel that we hear as well that John was arrested, because it was John's arrest then that pushed forward Christ into that ministry that awaited him. John was the preparer for the one who was to come, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is out in the wilderness, and we can only, in our humanity, speculate about the way that Jesus must have felt. What was running through his mind as he entered the wilderness? Imagine if they had journaled in those days, and we could have seen Jesus' writings. I believe that it must have been a spiritual wilderness as well as a physical one. Jesus went off to be in communion with God, to pray and to fast. And perhaps in his humanity he had questions. Perhaps, like us, he had fears. And in that silence, and in that solitude, Christ had to face the temptation of the devil, who sought to kill his dream, to bring him down. And yet the faith and relationship that Jesus had with God sustained him, as we hear Christ proclaim, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Tom Eric, a Midwestern newspaper columnist, once wrote a column entitled, "The Church Should Sing the Fool's Song of Love." And this is just a part of what he had to say. He writes, "The young heart cries out to be moved by love and beauty, especially by the pathos of lost love, unrequited love, painful love. The young heart senses that pain isn't the enemy, but rather numbness, dullness, overcompensating parents, and rituals of conformity. He writes, the young heart wants to walk home from school with friends and lovers and to talk deeply, dream eagerly, see the beauty in everything, and risk heartbreak. Am I a fool to wait for you the way I do after school? I sure am, and I will wait again tomorrow. And then later in that same column, Eric goes on to say, the anger that church people sometimes express comes across as vexation from not getting their way. Deep down, though, I think it's the betrayal of having one's dreams ignored, manipulated, or trespassed on. He writes, it's why greeting newcomers on Sunday is an ultimate expression of love, honoring risk and desire. It's why complainers should stop their public complaining lest they kill another's dreams. And he concludes, faith is about relationships. People will put up with budget meetings, classes hawking right opinion, as long as they believe that someone cares and there is a chance that they can, in effect, walk home with a friend. Like the journey of Christ into the wilderness, you and I, along with those at the 8 o'clock congregation this morning and the 9 o'clock congregation this morning, you and I journey to the altar of the Lord because we too seek communion. Communion with God and with one another in community. We desire to worship the Lord our God and serve only Him, even if we don't know entirely what that means. Therefore, the community of faith at St. John's must mirror both the practice of Jesus as well as the hope of His life, death, and resurrection. The beauty of these 40 days is it causes us to focus upon Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, no one who believes in Him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call upon Him. He concludes in that chapter of Romans, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As Jesus came to oneness and empowerment with God in the wilderness, we come to oneness and empowerment with God each week as we journey to the altar, as we are community of faith. The journey into Jesus Christ, we know, is a lifelong one, both in the church and individually. It's one where in the church, liturgy, vestments that change colors, flowers that disappear during the penitential season of Lent, music that transitions, and the buildings themselves are to the glory of God and assist us in seeing beyond the temporal. St. John's is where we are encouraged by each other, nourished by God's word and the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is, in the final analysis, the place where hopefully we in both the joys and in the sorrows are able to walk home with a friend. May we faithfully walk together through these 40 days of Lent and hold one another up in prayer and in the love of Jesus Christ. And I will share with you a secret. Had I by mistake bitten into that chocolate, it would have been okay. It would have been okay in God's eyes. Amen.